Good morning. Music is an integral part of my daily life. I listen to music while I work. I listen to music while I run. I listen to music while I cook and I clean. I listen to music just about at any time when I'm doing anything at all. And lately, I've been tuning in to the radio again. Thanks to the wonders of the internet, I'm able to listen to 90.3 FM KEXP, one of my favorite Seattle radio stations. You can take the boy out of the Northwest, but you can't take the Northwest out of the boy. They cover the gamut of genres, and I like to be surprised by music I haven't heard yet, music that I may or may not like, the experience common once of not being able to skip to the next track. So earlier this week, I was driving here. I was driving to church, and the DJ was talking about starting his day off in the KEXP studio, exchanging pleasantries with the sound engineers, the people with whom he worked, whoever happened to be there in those early hours of the morning. And he mentioned how nice it was to show up to the studio and talk to somebody before hopping on the microphone to talk to all of us, how it was an experience that he had missed for many days during the last couple of years, when he would start off his early morning show at home, alone, talking to the airwaves, all before saying hello to a single soul. Before the next song began, he simply said, "Remember, you are not alone. You are not alone." I can't remember what the next song was that followed, but I was just overcome with emotion to hear "You Are Not Alone." I remembered so many days that I went without speaking to a single soul during lockdowns, and they all hit me in one fell swoop as I was driving here. That "You Are Not Alone" spoke volumes to me, and it was addressed to every single person listening in on that morning show in the airwaves, wherever they happen to be it Seattle or Cary, North Carolina. Now, it is rare to experience such moments of clarity. Often we are too busy to catch them when they arrive, moving quickly from one task to the next, busy in the work that occupies our lives. That is why I'm so taken with the story of Mary and Martha in the Gospel of Luke today. This is one of the best known stories in the Gospels, delivering a lesson with remarkable brevity. Here we find Mary making the most of the moment, tuned into the airwaves, sitting at her teacher's feet. And here we find Martha caught up in her work, missing out on that moment. The story pits one way of doing things against another. One is the way of service. The other is the way of presence. Now, before we get caught up in that distinction, though, before we paint Martha as the one who got it wrong by focusing too much on service, and Mary as the one who got it right by being present to the moment, it might be useful for us to remember the context of today's gospel. Immediately preceding the scene in chapter 10 of Luke, we have the story of the Good Samaritan, the gospel we heard last Sunday. The lectionary doesn't always provide lessons sequentially, but it does so today. And the point of that parable of the Good Samaritan is hard to ignore. The way of service is an invaluable part of our Judeo-Christian heritage. As Mother Alice pointed out last Sunday, if you like the parable of the Good Samaritan, you probably don't get the point. Jesus asked the lawyer to take a hard look at what the word neighbor means, how that term encompasses not just the people we like, but also people we detest and abhor. The way of love demands that we serve not just when we welcome a friend and revered teacher into our home, but also serve when our worst enemy lies in a ditch, wounded on the side of the road. And if that isn't an affirmation of Martha's way of service, I don't know what is. Caring for our neighbors as if they were members of our own family is one of the core values of the gospel. And here we find Martha doing everything in her power to make sure that Jesus gets a proper welcome in her home. Surely that is not the issue. Rather, the issue is this: getting so caught up in the work that we forget to look up and enjoy what is right in front of us. Martha misses the forest for the trees. And Jesus doesn't so much chastise her as much as he simply reframes the situation. Martha, Martha, just what is the goal of your hospitality? Is it simply to meet all the real or perceived needs at your own expense to prove that you are worthy by your work? Or is it to create the space for communion and connection? Isn't the goal of being hospitable to create the space for us to be together? Martha, you are not alone. We are not alone. This is a hard lesson to remember, especially for those of us who get a lot of value out of being needed. It is also hard for us to remember this lesson when we read the Gospels, too. We talk about the way of love and the sacrifice it implies, the fact that much is demanded of us if we are to love our neighbors well. And we also live in a society that values work, where busyness is a mark of social importance and struggle is a sign of character. Sometimes we forget that the end goal is something other than toil and struggle. If you look at what Jesus had to say to the poor and downtrodden, if you spend enough time with his teaching, watch the thin line that connects his interactions with followers and strangers alike, then you will find that he is after something else. He came so that we may have life, life abundant. He sacrificed himself so that we might enjoy the experience of communion and connection. That is at the core of today's story. We are not alone. Your service should be a means for connection, bringing other people into the fold, not an end in and of itself. So let us enjoy the brief time we have together. And in a world rife with conflict, consumed by our ever-busy schedules, shrouded in fears and anxieties of all kinds, isn't that all that we are really after? Yes, there is work to do, but we are meant for so much more than work. We are meant to enjoy life. We are meant for communion. Now, today we get to celebrate a baptism here shortly. And as we rehearse the promises tied to our baptism, we will reaffirm the many things we stand for as the people of God follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help, will say. Will you serve Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. But there is a question at the top of that list. A question that frames all that follows. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you continue to participate in the communal life that shapes our existence? I will, with God's help. Amen. Let it be so. Let us not miss the forest for the trees. Let us remember that we are meant first and foremost for communion, my friends. And let us make space for all to come to that table so that they may enjoy the feast alongside us. Amen.